We're on the fruit of faithfulness tonight. And it comes from the passage in Galatians 5, 22 through 25. I did that wrong. It's through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen? So we've been talking about keeping in step with the Spirit, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, being empowered by Him to walk, and then allowing Him to develop these fruits of the Holy Spirit within us. And we've been looking at J. Oswald Sanders, one of my favorite authors. He explains so beautifully how love, the first fruit of the Spirit, is in all the fruits of the Spirit. So love, there's a facet of love in every fruit of the Spirit. You remember why? Because God is love, right? So the very first fruit of the Spirit is the very character, the very essence of who God is. And it's carried through every one of these other characteristics. So now we're on the fruit of faithfulness. And faithfulness is God's trustworthiness. Faithfulness is love's trustworthiness. Last week, we had a good time of sharing following the hurricane, and we shared with each other about the faithfulness of God throughout the storm. We talked about, before, during and after the storm, just things that showed how God was faithful throughout. And we all had something to share, didn't we? And I had a lot more to share, but I thought I'd let you guys talk that night. But, I mean, Crystal and I were together, and we laughed through the whole thing because we were just showing time, moment after moment, how God was showing up for us and just proving faithful. And, in the midst of this Category 4, which it was when we got hit, we were just laughing and praising the Lord because we knew we had a sense of peace about it, and He was faithful, and we got stories. I know we all do, right? So last week we were talking about that, and it was a good reminder that even when tragedy strikes, God never changes. Even when the weather changes at the last minute, remember what are they called? The spaghetti? What are they? The spaghetti plots, I couldn't think of it. But we all remember the spaghetti plots. I mean, they were changing at the last minute, right? But God doesn't change like the weather. God is constant, He is faithful, and He never changes, amen? So Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when everything is around us is chaotic, we can trust in God's constancy and His faithfulness. Now, some of you here have heard me tell the story maybe more than once, because I think I repeat myself, but this is a good story. But if you remember, I was at camp as a kid, and I was in Hawaii, and I was up on the mountaintop. We climbed up to the mountaintop. I think it was very, very late at night. It was dark, and the stars were so bright, and the moon was out, and we could see the Pacific Ocean way down there by the brightness of the stars and the moon. And we turned all our flashlights off, and we were just supposed to listen to God and just observe and see what God wanted to tell you, see what God might say to you. And God showed me this that night. He said to me, He said, I am your one constant in a world of inconsistencies. And I never forgot that. And He really is. He is that foundation that we can stand upon when everything else is swirling around. People let us down. Situations let us down. Even churches let us down sometimes, right? But God never fails us. Amen? Jesus is faithful, and His love, or His mercies, His unfailing loving kindness for us endures forever. So have you ever been betrayed? Has someone ever, pulled one over on you, maybe seriously lied to you, spoken out of both sides of their mouth, or maybe even abandoned you, maybe abused you, victimized you somehow. When we've experienced these things, it makes us hard to trust. It makes it hard for us to trust again, doesn't it? Can everybody witness to that? We tend to build up these walls around our heart to protect ourselves from the pain of the heartbreak and the pain of the broken promises. And if you can relate to these experiences, like most of us can, then you can understand firsthand why faithfulness and trustworthiness are such important characteristics for us as Christians to have. Because Christians are called to love God and love others with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, right? And so without those characteristics of faithfulness and trustworthiness, it's hard for us to do that. Would you agree with that? Someone who loves as God loves has to be as God, have that character of faithfulness and trustworthiness. We have to have this fruit of faithfulness produced in us in order even for us to love God and to love others. So to love as God loves, we need to ask him to produce this fruit of faithfulness in us. Faithfulness is hard, especially when we've been hurt. Because if we grow up with this sense of, I can't trust anybody, we don't have the experience of trusting. And so how can we be trustworthy when we don't have the experience of trust? Does that make sense? It's hard to develop that in us. Fortunately, those are lies that the Spirit of truth can remove from our hearts. Amen? We can be hurt in childhood. We can be abandoned. We can learn that, you know, or believe that we can't trust anyone. But is that the truth? I think there are people we shouldn't trust. But we can trust who? We can trust the Lord. He is faithful and true. So let's look at an example, Old Testament example. Of course, Jesus is our perfect New Testament example of faithfulness. But in Old Testament, there's a book in Hebrews 11, that I want you guys to read. I'll read this week, okay? It's your little assignment, because it's the whole book, or the whole chapter, Hebrews 11, just shows person after person after person that was counted as righteous because of their faithfulness, and they endured. And so it's just a really good testimony. It's a book of testimonies, basically, of the faithfulness, the faithful people in the Old Testament. But we're going to look at one tonight. We're going to look at Noah. Faith and faithfulness are closely linked. Faith is that confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's that I know that I know that I know. Right? It's that experience that we can stand on and say, I know. Faith itself is the substance, the proof of what's to come. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Amen? That's in Hebrews 11. And faithfulness is the working out of that faith. You hear that? So faithfulness is us working out what we believe. So if we believe I'm worthless, then we're going to behave how? As if we're of no value. Does that make sense? Anybody experience that? I know I have. But if we have faith in God, and we know his love for us, and we're able to believe in that, and believe that Jesus Christ died for us, and that he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and that we have a freedom in Christ Jesus, then we can walk in that. Amen? Then we can walk in faithfulness because of what we believe, because of our faith. So when we have faith in God, we act in faithful ways. We believe in God and we trust him to be faithful. And so out of our belief system, we act as faithful servants of the Lord. Our true faith is shown in our acts and our attitudes of faithfulness towards God. And those acts, those things we do, bind our faith in place. So we have faith, and then we act in faith, and it just gets stronger and stronger. As we do what we believe, our faith will grow, and we will grow in faithfulness. See how that works? The two bind each other together. Our belief and our behavior go hand in hand. Noah was a good Old Testament example. Because of his faith, God warned Noah that something was coming, something he had not yet seen. And Hebrews 11 tells us that Noah built an ark in the middle of the wilderness. Something unprecedented. A boat in the middle of the wilderness. And what happened to him? What did his neighbors do? What would your neighbors do if you started building a boat in the desert? Yeah, and do you know that it took 120 years for him to build that boat? So he put up with a lot of lip during that time, didn't he? Talk about faithfulness, right? And out of his faith, his belief, his actions, the human race was saved. Thank you, Noah, for being faithful. Robert Strand writes, acts of faithfulness are the demonstration that we have a true faith in God, and such acts are the threads holding our belief and our behavior system together. So I think as we do acts of faith, we're convincing ourselves that this is the truth. You know, that's kind of how I see it. It's like the more we walk in it, the more we'll believe it. The more we love others and serve others and, you know, feed the sheep, the stronger our faith will grow. Now, do you know that it's natural for us to live by faith? Ever thought about that? Every day we live by faith. Now, explain. Think about it for a minute. Every day we're propelled to take countless actions that require faith as we depend on the faithfulness of others. We step on a bus with faith that that bus driver will be faithful in getting us safely from point A to point B, right? We eat food in faith that the hands that prepared it were washed before they created it. Amen? Guys always wash their hands, right? We faithfully obey laws. We trust our elected officials will be faithful in serving us for our good. Most of the time, we're supposed to trust that. And we live by faith and faithfulness because we have to, right? When you think about that, we really have to. We don't have control. We really don't. We have been created to live and function in an environment of trust. And so when you think about the schemes of the enemy, Satan's schemes, if we have to live in an environment of trust, what lies is he going to try to plant in our minds that would create chaos in our lives? Beliefs like, I can't trust anybody. I can't even trust God. Those kind of things, they're planted at an early age, can really trip us up. I've had several clients over the years who have had to deal with this issue. One man, I remember he went back to a memory of abandonment by his father, and his belief became, I can't trust anyone, just like I was talking about. Can't trust anyone. And another woman, abused by one man, and her lie was, across the board, men cannot be trusted. And I think there was something like men are evil or something like that too. We can see how Satan gets in there at a very early age and he can really mess with our minds. These type of beliefs are presented to us by Satan as self-defense mechanisms, like protective devices. But they turn out just being these walls that are built up around our hearts that affect every other relationship that comes after that, including our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And like I said earlier, our belief or our lack of faith will translate over into our behavior. What we believe is who we become. What we believe is how we walk out our lives. So it's important that we're looking at our belief system and saying, is this what God would say to me? Is this the truth in Scripture, what I'm believing? What have I been walking in? Does that make sense? Now, you may know someone that struggles with faithfulness, or you may be somebody that struggles with faithfulness, because you've been betrayed or given reasons to doubt people and doubt God. But 1 Corinthians 13:7 says it's the love chapter. It tells us that love believes all things. Whoa. Hold on. And we're supposed to love God and love everyone, and love believes all things. And the other version in the NIV says love always trusts. So there's a part of love that will always have faith. And this kind of love goes against our old patterns of thinking or our worldly inclinations towards self-preservation, don't they? Christ's love for us was the opposite of self-preservation. It was self-sacrifice. And it's what we're called to as well. To love and to trust and have faith requires giving of oneself, a sacrifice of one's own self, maybe even a sacrificing of a fear to trust in order to trust and in order to love. But God can restore our faith and our trust, and he can create in you his character. His character of faithfulness that can trust without the fear of being betrayed or being abandoned. Even when we've been let down by others, we can be healed from that pain. We can hand over that hurt. And we can actually live in freedom in Christ, trusting others, of course relying on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Because there are some people that aren't trustworthy. But that doesn't mean we have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? There are going to be people that we can trust. And we can trust the Lord. Amen? I think that's how we can love our enemies, too. Because we're called to love our enemies. How can you love someone you don't trust? Well, if your foundation is in God, and God is always faithful to you, then even if your enemy stabs you in the back, you know that God's got your back. We can stand on our foundation firm in the faithfulness of God, even when everyone around us is coming at us with knives. Amen? We are fortunate and most blessed people, we people of God. For our God is always faithful. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our shelter in the time of the storm. It is our strong tower where we can run and be safe. And if we have trust issues, if we lack faith in anything, he is faithful to renew and restore our minds, heal our hearts, heal our brokenness, heal our woundedness, and make us strong again. He will restore our minds if we seek for him to do so. Lord, grant me the fruit of faithfulness. Heal my heart that can't trust because of my pain. Make me whole. And help me to walk in your faithfulness and become a faithful person. Let's pray.